Amen. If you would open your Bibles to the book of Luke. Book of Luke, familiar passage of Scripture. Luke chapter number 18. And we'll be looking in verses number 35 through the end of the chapter, verse number 43. Luke chapter number 18, verse number 35 through 43. We look here in this passage of Scripture, and of course, Jesus is on his final return trip, if you would, to the city of Jerusalem. And if you looking in Scripture, if you try to count it, depending on who you read after, Jesus made this trip. Recorded, we have it that he made this trip 9 different times from Galilee to Jerusalem. And of course, sometimes he went, a couple times he went by Samaria, but majority of the time he came down that Jordan Valley and came through Jericho over the Mount of Olives and into Jerusalem was the customary trip that the path that they would take. So we find Jesus having made this trip several times back and forth, and there was one commentator that he estimated that Jesus in his life, of course you understand, he was 33 at this time, 33 and a half years old is all, and he had made, the other commentator estimated that he had done that 13 times, assuming that he had gone keeping the different feasts there in Jerusalem. Now then, Jesus has been in his ministry for 3 years, 3 and a half years. He's been preaching, he's been teaching, he's been going into all the towns of Israel and Judea and preaching and teaching in those. He sent his disciples out, the 70 out, preaching and teaching. And now he's coming into the last part of his ministry. You remember in John chapter number 11 how that he was called and Lazarus was sick. Jesus was in Galilee. He stayed there, and after 4 days came, he was in Bethany. Bethany being there close to Jerusalem. Jesus came to Bethany and healed Lazarus. The people were so excited. The people were, one side was wanting to make him king and the others was wanting to kill him. And so the priests and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes were so adamant to kill him. The Bible in the book of John says that he went to the city or to the town of Ephraim. Ephraim was a, and did I say that in Spanish? However it is in English. Ephraim. How do you say it in English? Ephraim? How do you say it? It's Ephraim, sorry. You guys need to learn Spanish. Hola. Hola, hey, he's working, he's doing good, all right. Ephraim, all right, so Ephraim, I'm sorry. So he took him to, Jesus went to the town of Ephraim, all right. I had never seen that before I was studying for this message here, how that it said that Jesus in John chapter number 11 said that Jesus took his disciples because he wouldn't walk in Judea and in among the Jews. He went there and they stayed. It doesn't say how long. But then when the time was right, what time? Jesus knew that he was to die during the time or in the Passover. Jesus knew that on the 10th day of the month, that he needed to be riding that donkey, that colt. He needed to be riding that down in Jerusalem. Why? Because we have the prophecy of Daniel of how many years and the Messiah would be cut off. To the day you can count from the order that was given to the day that Jesus rode down that hill on that donkey. The Messiah was presented to the nation of Israel. Jesus was the king. He was told in Malachi how that he would be coming, riding on the colt, the foal of an ass, and he would be riding down the hill. He was the Passover lamb the 10th day of the month, set apart for them to inspect and for them to see that he was the Lamb of God. He knew the timing was coming. And so it's time for him to come out of Ephraim, to come out of Ephraim and begin his journey into Jerusalem. And it was the last trip that he would make. Now, outside of his 40 days, it doesn't tell us in the book of Acts where Jesus was at during that 40 days, that he was here on earth after his resurrection. But in the rest of the Gospels, we don't have recorded anything else except him coming from there and going directly to Golgotha. Now then, our story picks up as he leaves Ephraim. Boy, you guys need to learn Spanish. I need to learn English one. I don't know which one. Anyway, as he leaves Ephraim and he begins to make that journey, people begin to see him. No doubt he was teaching his disciples. No doubt he was probably healing. We don't have it recorded, but he did that everywhere he went where they would believe in him. He was healed. And you remember the one place he couldn't do very many miracles there because of what? Their unbelief. But there he had, people began to follow him. Now we get in verse number 35. Look in verse number 35. And it came to pass that he was come nigh unto Jericho. A certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. Now if you look, we don't turn there, but if you looked in Mark chapter number 10 and verse 46, it tells you, gives this guy a name. His name's Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. If you look in Matthew, it says there was two of them, but Bartimaeus gets the nod and gets his name written in the scripture, and he is the one that is known. And so his name is Bartimaeus. Verse number 36. Bartimaeus, and hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of where? Nazareth passeth by. Now then, it's interesting to see that phrase, Jesus of Nazareth. You look it up, and of course, you can Google it, or you got your Bible app. You can Google or whatever you do that phrase, Jesus of Nazareth, and you'll find about 27 times that phrase is used in the scripture. Most of it after this time, where Jesus of Nazareth, he had it at his birth, and now it has it when it's coming on to his death and his resurrection. These people were looking at Jesus of Nazareth, not Jesus the Messiah, but Jesus the teacher, Jesus the prophet, Jesus the rabbi, Jesus the man, the carpenter's son from Nazareth. And the Pharisees were right. Where is it written that there's going to be a prophet come out of Nazareth? Now then, these people obviously did not believe Jesus was the Messiah, because they were looking at him at his physical, his earthly situation. But then look, Bartimaeus asked what was going on, and they said, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, who? Bartimaeus, verse 38. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou what? What did he say? Son of David. Bartimaeus did not just accept, although Bartimaeus more than likely had heard of Jesus. We would assume that he had heard of the miracles. Jesus having passed through that area that so many times, there was going to be crowds with him. Jesus having taught on the mount. Jesus having been down by the River Jordan. Jesus having gone through that area. He evidently had to have heard of Jesus and knew who he was. But Bartimaeus here, he calls out to him, Jesus, son of David. Of David. What is so special about that? Well, you look over into the next week when Jesus is down into the temple. Jesus asked the Pharisees, he specifically asked them, What do you think of the Christ? Whose son is he? And the Pharisees and the priests, without hesitation and without question, they said, he is the son of David. Why is that so important? Because Christ is the Greek side, the Messiah is the Old Testament side, and so they are admitting that the Messiah of Israel is the very son of David. This prophecy was given to David, and this thought was given in Jeremiah, and then David has written it several times in the Psalms, how that the Lord has promised him that he would have a son that would rule and would rule for eternity. Jeremiah talked about how that he would have a son that will reign over Israel forever. This is the son of David. And when Bartimaeus was looking at Jesus here, he was looking at Jesus as the Messiah of Israel. He already believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Bartimaeus was already on his way to salvation. Why? Because he believed who Jesus is. You take those verses in Romans Romans chapter number 10, verse 9 and 10, where it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, what does it say? Thou shalt be what? Thou shalt be saved. All right, here we have Bartimaeus that is confessing with his mouth. He's crying out to God and he's calling him, you are the God, you are the Messiah of Israel. What is it that he wants? It's interesting that you look in verse number 38. He says, he cried saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Now then in the back there we have our Miskito Bible. And we're thankful to have a Bible. But one of the big problems with that Bible is the people that translated it into the Miskito, they don't know the difference between mercy and grace. We know the difference between that mercy. Mercy is when you don't get what you deserve. Are we not that way? We don't get what we deserve so many times. That's mercy. So here we have Bartimaeus. He's crying out to Jesus, the Messiah of Israel, the Son of God. He's saying, show me mercy. I know I'm blind. I know I am condemned. I know that my life is horrible. But will you please show mercy to me and deliver me from this condemnation of being blind and bound by my physical deformities. Bartimaeus is crying out for mercy. So then we see in verse number 39, and they which went before rebuked him that he should hold his peace. But when the more that they rebuked him, but he cried, it says, so much the more. The more they said, shut up, the more he screamed. The more they said, be quiet, the louder he yelled. The more they tried to push him to the side, the more he tried to shove his way into the crowd and trying to find Jesus. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And of course, the Bible says in verse number 40, Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him. Now then, it's interesting. You look on there, and if we take the time, I don't know if we will or not, but if we were to take the time, there's so many samples here or examples here of a person that coming to Christ to be saved. Bartimaeus, although he had heard of Christ and although he wanted Jesus to help him and to deliver him, he could not get to him because of his blindness. And that is so much so as the people of the world, lost people without Christ are. When they hear the gospel, or maybe they hear about Jesus, or maybe they just see the sign, or they get a track or something like that, they don't know which way to go. They need somebody to explain, just like the Ethiopian. And the Lord sent Philip all the way down into the desert. And when he caught up to him, he said, Who is this prophet talking about? How can I understand except somebody explain to me? This blind Bartimaeus, he was in such a state that he was crying out for Jesus, but he couldn't get to him. So Jesus stopped and he said, wait, bring that man here. And if you was to read this account over in the book of Mark, it said, he left his garment. And he went to Jesus. Oh, and that's what we need to do. Those that hear the gospel story, those that recognize that they are lost, and those that recognize that they are without hope, they need to leave everything. We call it repentance, do we not? When we recognize that we're a sinner, and we can remember that night, and we can remember that day, and we can remember that moment, when we recognize that we were lost and we were on our way to hell and that we could not do anything to save ourselves, and we turned and we called out to Christ. Bartimaeus here, he left his coat, he left everything that was there beside the road, and he came to Jesus. Now then, you look in verse number 41. Jesus looks at him and he says, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What do you want? Bartimaeus, he didn't ask for money. Bartimaeus didn't ask for clothes. He didn't ask for a house. He didn't ask for a job. He didn't ask for food. He didn't ask for all of these different things that might have made his life a little bit better. He knew that he had a problem, and this problem was the core problem that affected everything else in his life, and he wanted help with that one problem. He looked at Jesus and he said, that I might receive my sight. He was hoping and he was begging Jesus that he would show him mercy and give him sight where he had been blinded and condemned to live that way the rest of his life. He was crying out to Jesus to deliver him from that blindness. His hope was that if he had sight, that he would be able to function, that he'd be able to work, that his life would not be as difficult. It talks about his dad. He is the son of Timaeus. We would assume that his dad was involved. We don't know how old Bartimaeus was. It doesn't tell us in this instance. It doesn't tell us how old it was or how often his dad had to bring him down to the side of the road, and how often he would sit there and begging for the travelers that were on their way to Jerusalem, just begging for his mere existence. And his hope would have been if he could get his sight, that he could work, that he could do, that he could function, and life would not be as bad as it is. He was begging the Lord for mercy. But then look in verse number 42. Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight. He received his sight. He got what he asked for. The Lord gave him his sight. And it says after that immediately he received his sight. But what changed his life forever was the next words in that verse. He said, receive thy sight, thy faith has what? Saved thee. Blind Bartimaeus cried for mercy, and he received grace. Oh, he received grace, which is something that he was not deserving of, but he received it anyway. God showed him grace because he believed, because he called, because he asked the Lord. The Lord saved his soul. He went away able to see, but he went away eternally saved. He went away with the Lord in his heart. He went away with salvation. And you look in verse number 43, immediately he received a sight and he followed Jesus. That's when you find someone that asks the Lord to come into their heart and save them. When you find someone that asks Jesus Christ to save them, they've repented of their sin. They come to God. They begin to follow the Lord. They're not perfect from the get-go. We're not perfect now. But they begin to follow God. They begin to grow as a Christian. And Bartimaeus, he began to follow Jesus. But then it also says in verse number 43, he followed him glorifying God. He began to witness. He began to shout it all over and to everyone along the path. Now they weren't, before, you thought before, they couldn't shut him up. Now there's no way they're going to get him to be quiet. Why? Because now he has his sight. Now he has a Savior. And now he's following Jesus. He's running and leaping and shouting and glorifying God. What a great commotion that it stirred up in Jericho on that day as Jesus and Bartimaeus and this crowd of people were coming into Jericho. So much so that a little short publican heard about it. The very next chapter. A little short publican heard the witness and heard the noise and heard the testimony of a blind beggar and of the people. It said in verse number 43, and when the people and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. This Zacchaeus, he heard this report. He heard the crowd. He heard the witness. And he wanted to see Jesus as well. Oh, that we would have that witness. Oh, that we would have that zeal. Oh, that we would have that goal in our heart. That we would praise the Lord with such fervency. And we would tell others with such fervency that they would want to have what we have. Why is it? Why is it that the people at the grocery store don't listen to us? It's because we go through and we slap our stuff on the counter because they didn't have the brand we wanted, or it wasn't on sale, or our coupon is expired, and we're upset and we're aggravated. No, they're not going to listen to what we have to say to them if we're trying to witness to them. But even if we're discouraged, and even if it's not the right brand, if we'll go in and we'll say, well, I didn't like that, but the Lord knows what I need. Hey, do you know if you was to die today, you'd go to heaven? Then maybe they might listen to us. If we was shouting and praising and glorifying God and excited that he saved our soul, it may be that we're sick. It may be that we have infirmity. It may be that we have sadness. It may be that we have one. That doesn't matter. As the pastor was talking about this morning, the joy of the Lord is our strength, and we can rejoice and we can witness and we can tell others. I just thought of this. I didn't intend to use my dad in the message, but it fits right here. Well, a week ago, we buried my dad. And people, and many of you have came up and were sorry for your loss and that kind of thing. And I appreciate the condolences and that. But usually I respond to them, and I know it sounds odd and it may sound a little bit weird, but we had a great funeral. It was great. It was good. We were praising the Lord. We were crying, and we were thanking the Lord for his goodness. Why? Because my dad had 93 years that he was alive, 71 years serving the Lord. And we were able to praise the Lord for his goodness and his mercy. Even though we have sorrow that he's gone, even though we have sorrow that I can't call him up tomorrow or tonight, tell him how the service went and tell him how things went like we usually did. But we have joy in our heart that we know where he's at. We have joy in our heart. We rejoice in what God has done for him. Oh, we can have joy in sorrow. We can have joy in pain. We can have joy in need. And we can be a witness to others. Just like blind Bartimaeus. Imagine the dirty, lice-covered, nasty beggar sitting on the side of the road. Maybe an hour later, if that much, he's sitting in the house of the richest publican in all of Jericho, praising God and thanking Jesus for what he's done. And this Zacchaeus, because of that witness, Jesus says to Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house. Oh, that we would have the joy of the Lord. Oh, that we would have that witness in our heart like this blind Bartimaeus. Amen.